Behold the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Behold the tabernacle of God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Behold, I make all things new. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. Shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Behold,
message that I think will help and encourage us. And I have a title for our teaching today: God is looking for a permanent faith. God is looking for a permanent faith. Heavenly Father, empower us to be able to live your word. Empower us, Father, that we can walk by faith and not by sight. Empower us, Father, that we may be faithful and endure to the end. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. God is looking for a permanent faith. Let's turn to the Gospel of John, the Gospel of John, and I want to look at John 16, chapter 16, and verse 32 and 33. The Gospel of John, chapter 16, verses 32 and 33. And just to remind ourselves in the context of what our Lord is speaking here, he is soon to be handed over to be betrayed and to be crucified. He is approaching the fulfillment of his Father. And before all of this, he speaks about the Holy Spirit who will come baptizing when he is ascended, that he will not leave the disciples, the church, alone, but he will come back through the Holy Spirit, baptizing the believers, empowering them. He says that there will be sorrow for a season, confusion. They won't understand what's going on, but in time they will see. And Jesus also reveals that he is going to overcome the world. He's going to overcome the God of this world, Satan. So that is in the context of what it's speaking about here. But in these verses, let's read them, verse 32 and 33, he says here, "Indeed the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And there is the encouragement in the gospel. He says, "I have overcome the world." Now, our faith is based on verse 33. "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." That is what our faith has to be based upon. If our faith is simply based upon the promises of God and the blessings of God's word, we are not going to understand the deeper life teaching. The ultimate of the deeper life teaching and the faith message that is attached to it is that I have overcome the world. That is what he said he has done. And because he has overcome the world, we too can and will overcome the world. The bride that's making herself ready, she's making herself ready not only for marriage, but she's making herself ready so that she can overcome the world in order to marry. If the world is still in her heart and affecting her, she is not that bride for Christ. And this is the work the Holy Spirit is doing with us. And he has to empower us in order to work the world, the affection of the world, the lusts of the world out of our life and our heart and being. And so Jesus confidently says, "I have overcome the world." And without this, we have no faith message. I think in the early days, when we embraced the deeper life and the faith teaching, it was all centered on ourselves, what we could achieve and get out of it. But we failed to see this great verse that our Lord speaks on, that "I have overcome the world." And as we believe on him, we too will overcome the world. And we were blind, naive in our early days to the subtlety and the power of this world. And how it would take the power of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, in which to root out these ungodly affections within our lives and hearts. And indeed, he's still doing this process. I'm always encouraged when I read this chapter, because Jesus is foretelling what is going to happen to him. This hadn't happened yet, but read and note what he is saying, what he is facing. He is seeing the truth laid out for his life. He is seeing what is mapped out for him. He is seeing the course that he is to take. You don't have that. I don't have that. This is why we walk by faith, and we walk by faith each day, trusting in the Lord. We have certain insights to what we are predestined for, but we don't have it mapped out so clarified, so clear as our Lord is laying out here. This has been revealed to him. He has read the scriptures. He is the Word of God. He knows what he's going to face. And yet he reveals that he is not alone, even though they're going to leave him. Yet his Father will not leave him. That is what led him on. That is what enabled him to be able to go to the cross, that he knew nothing could separate him from his Father. And brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is working that in you and I, that whatever we face, whatever we go through, nothing separates us from the love of God. And when we get that to from our heads to our hearts, then God can start to reveal more and use us more. And we will begin to understand and we will begin to rejoice why we have such a title like this morning. God is looking for a permanent faith. Because sadly, there is not a permanent faith to be found in so much of Christendom. You see, Jesus wasn't rebuking the disciples for their lack of faith. What he was trying to raise the question was in their mind and heart was their faith is unfocused. It's disordered. They don't really know exactly whom they're to look to base their faith upon. Yes, they are seeing Jesus in the flesh. Yes, they have seen the miracles. They have seen the love of God. But it's not in their hearts. They're not focused yet. And that is why Jesus said that we are to seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto us. That is our focal point. That is the centre of interest. As you know, I've just come back last week from teaching art for a week at a college I go to. And one of the things that I emphasise to the students, and some get it and some don't, that when you start a painting, you start with the centre of interest. That what your eyes are looking at. That's what is stimulating you to paint that subject, and it's that you get down first. And how often that reminds me, even when I'm teaching them, that that is what God constantly says to us. That is the focal point. Everything stems from that. That is what you to set your eyes, your heart, your affection upon. And then as a result, everything grows from that. The same as an artist. When they get that centre of interest down, then everything begins to grow to make the painting as a result of it. Because that is what inspires the artist. Because without inspiration, you haven't got energy, you haven't got movement, you haven't got life in the work. Well, how much more if we take that over to the spiritual? God has saved us to have life, to be active, to be energized by the Holy Spirit, not to be in depression and oppression and unbelief and always scattering and running away. That is not what we were saved for. And until our faith is focused on the risen Lord Jesus Christ, we walk in disorder and disarray. And it's still about me, the self-life. The problem is that we don't mature in the important parts of life, the realities of life. We don't really mature as disciples. We scatter and we scatter because of fear and unbelief. We scatter because we're still in control of our own lives and destiny and future. We scatter because we're still interested in our own interests. You see, what Jesus was saying there to the disciples was that you will scatter because your interests are not in me yet. Jesus' interests hadn't become important to them yet. Are Jesus' interests important to you as he reveals them through the Holy Spirit, through your life, your walk, or do you find yourself still running away? You see, their faith wasn't operating in the things of Christ, the everyday things of Christ, the everyday realities. We want to be on the mountaintops. We want to be the great preachers. We want to be the prophets, the apostles. We want to start up these empires for God. And yet he's found in the everyday, mundane realities of life. He's reaching out to the destitute. He's reaching out to the brokenhearted. He's reaching out to the hungry. He's reaching out to the sorrowful, the lonely. As he said, when you saw me in prison, did you visit me? When I was hungry, did you feed me? That is what it's all about, and we get it all wrong. And why do we get it wrong? Because we're still proud. We haven't become lowly yet. He hasn't brought us fully to the foot of the cross. But he's doing it. If we stay, and if we have that permanent faith, a faith that doesn't keep running away, then he will work this within and through us. Because that's why we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Unless we allow the Holy Spirit to crucify in those areas and experience his fullness, his power, we will be scattered. And you know what we're scattered to? We go away to uselessness. Useless pursuits. We just become religious, confused, nomadic, going from place to place, church to church, ministry to ministry, teacher to teacher, and wondering why the church gets more and more confused. We just land up with dead works. You know, we're scattered, sadly, into emptiness. And that is why there is this depression. That's why there's this barrenness, dryness, so little happening, whether it be in the church or in our lives. And you know, God is sovereign. He is on the throne. Thank God that he is. Because he has to even allow some to scatter to deliver them of these feelings and these emotions that are attached to faith. And that is always the big problem. You see, we still want the emotions, the feelings to faith. And they are not there. Because that's not where it operates. We have feelings, we have emotions. They're given by God. But where faith belief in God and his word is concerned, it's got nothing to do with it. And the disciples hadn't yet understood that one, because so much was based upon emotions, feelings. And that will always cause you to scatter. But praise God, he's even in control and sovereign even over that. What does it say back looking in verse 32? It says, indeed the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And that's what he says, and you will leave me alone. You see, do we leave him alone because we're not seeing, or because we're in denial, we don't want to face the truth, or maybe those areas that God is getting us to look at where he wants to deliver us from? That is what we do. That is what we do when we bury our heads in the sand and hope it will go away, tomorrow be okay. We leave him alone. We're no longer with him at that point. We're not walking together in agreement. That is what it means. Or we become too busy. Too many pursuits. We make ourselves so busy, running here, running there, because we are in denial. We don't want to really face the realities. Again, we leave him alone. He's not on his own, but that's what we do. We hinder that relationship. And that is why trials, tribulations, these dark times come, because of the sovereignty of God. That is why you go through trials, tests. I do, because we're dealing with the sovereignty of God here. And he knows what he's doing. You see, the faith that God is after is where we are prepared to let God do what he wants with us. And until we come to that place, there are times we still leave him alone and scatter. And that is why our faith doesn't work like we long for it to work at times. Because we're still leaving him on his own. We're scattering. And until we're prepared to let God do what he wants with us, we will never arrive at that place. You see, Jesus had arrived at that place. He was prepared. He had let go, so that his Father could do whatever he wanted to do with him. And he knew exactly what he was going to do with him. He's going to the cross. He's going there to do a job, a work, to overcome Satan, this world, and to redeem mankind and bring him back in relationship with the living Almighty God. You see, he had let go. We know that because he knows what's happening to him. When you let go, you then clearly know what you are destined for. Your life becomes empowered with God. You know that you will not scatter. You will not falter, whatever happens. You know that your faith is anchored in a relationship with a living Almighty God and not in emotions and self and feelings. You see, until Jesus is Lord, we still have goals independent of him. And we not only are independent of him, but we serve them. We have other idols, other gods, and we serve them. And that is what makes us scatter. You see, brothers and sisters, our faith is real. Nobody can deny that. There's faith. Jesus said all it takes is a mustard seed of faith. But it's not yet permanent. And there's a difference. And when the bride's faith is permanent, the church is permanent, then she will be caught up and one with the Lord. Let's remind ourselves what it says in the book of James. James chapter 1. Particularly in verses 6 to 8. James chapter 1. But let him ask in faith with no doubt, for he who doubts is like the wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded. He is double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. That was the problem with the disciples. And those conditions that James speaks of here is that you scatter when trials and problems and tribulations happen. And so that is the goal of faith, the deeper life. A faith that will endure. A faith that is not just looking to blessings and what I can get in this life. We note the wording that James speaks of here. Let him ask in faith with no doubting. In other words, you are so persuaded, you are so influenced that there's no room for doubt as to what God will do and what he's promised. And what you're believing for. That's what it means. Because he says those that doubt, they're like the waves of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. In other words, when the winds come in, they just are tossed about, confused, don't know what's going on. They scatter. That's what it means. But a man or woman of faith, not doubting, will know that when those winds come in, they will know that they don't affect them. They're resolute. They have that assurance that these winds will not affect me. Even though they're happening, it's roaring around me, I know that I won't sink. That's what he wants from us. And yes, we can get to that place. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded. Unstable in all his ways. There's the problem. Verse 8. Double-minded. Has one mind for a season, then he changes it and then thinks differently. He's double-minded because he's still looking to his circumstances that influence his faith, that influence his destiny, his walk with God. And that's why they go away. Because they're double-minded. They're unstable. You can't rely on them. They're not stable. And that is one of the requirements that God works in, particularly with the overcomers and the fivefold ministry. If we are not reliable, if ministry is not reliable, then God help us. It is because they're double-minded, unstable in all their ways. In other words, their ways, their life is unstable. It's not reliable. And nothing can grow where nothing is reliable. And that's why sadly we're seeing in society, family life, things breaking down. We're seeing it in government. We're seeing it in everything because they're no longer reliable. They're unstable. So the decisions, the promises they make are unstable. Many, many people make lots of promises. In marriage, when they take those vows, they make all those promises because they're unstable. They can't keep them. And it just creates more rejection, depression, anger, confusion, which we see sadly is so prevalent in society and sadly in the house of God. You know, the goal of faith and the deeper life is a faith not based on blessings, but that I may know him. That is what it's based on. That I may know him. You can't ask anything greater than that. And if that is the desire of your heart, he will reveal himself to you in the most profound way. There'll be times you cannot put words to it. When God reveals himself, that is what your faith is crying out for. And you will see as he reveals himself, it's got nothing to do with feelings, emotions, which we based our faith on. But it's a revelation of him that changes us. And that is what makes faith, the deeper life, a reality, not just a doctrine. Many have gone back because it's just a doctrine to them. They've given up because they've got a head full of scriptures and facts that they've learnt, but they've never known the author of it. God is looking for a permanent faith. If we stay with this and we keep coming, we will find that he will have these pillars that he's looking for in the church, who will stand and endure in the last days. As I've said in closing, he's building his body. He's restoring the body of Christ. He's bringing her back, and he's doing it through you and I. The deception of Satan is that when we scatter, we think the grass is greener elsewhere, only to find that it isn't. There is nowhere else. He's the only one that has the words of eternal life. And he's the one that's building it through you and me. For the purpose, as we've already said, that I may know him. That is the deeper life. That is the faith message. Heavenly Father, again, you have spoken this morning. It is so simple, and yet we make it so difficult. Father, forgive us that we are still pursuing the wrong things. That there's still self, so much of it. And until we have completely and utterly let go, we still can scatter. Lord, have mercy on us. Help us. We are weak. We're vulnerable at times. We listen at times too much to self or the enemy, and not to you. But Lord, you know the hearts that have cried out to you, Lord, never let me go. And if we sincerely and utterly mean that, then you will do that. You will never let us go. But you will raise us up for what we have been predestined for. You will prepare us to be part of the bride of Christ. You will cause us to overcome this world as you overcame, because our eyes and heart are totally fixed upon you and nothing else. Do this, Father, we ask, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
Shall be brought low.